Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the burger of great chat, squirting in the ketchup of humour, but not before removing the gherkins of evil.
Ed Gamble there. Opening the podcast in quite a controversial way, I would say. I'd say that would be the earliest that some listeners have gone, what?
Yeah,
the gherkins are the best bit.
Oh, you know, yeah, I agree with the listener.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know some people don't like
some
gherkins.
Some people don't like them. So it's very nicely done.
I love gherkins.
But I think people, I love them. I'm a gherkin boy.
Yeah.
This is where we both agree.
We're both gherkin jerkins.
We're gherkin jerkins, make no mistaken. That is Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. This is the Off-Menu podcast. We invite a guest into our dream restaurant and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is
Motsi Mabuse. Motsi Mabuse, a professional dancer.
A professional dancer.
A judge on Strictly.
An incredible judge on Strictly. My favourite judge on Strictly. No shade to the others.
It's a very
closely run contest. A lot of the time the judges have to say to the celebrities, this is such a tough decision. It's so close.
Yeah. And that's what you're saying as a judge of the judges.
Yeah. I'm splitting hairs here, but Motsi, I'm afraid, the other two judges, she is my favourite.
Yes. Yes. She's brilliant. Can't wait to chat to her. Also, author.
Yes. Finding My Own Rhythm by Motsi Mabuse is out now. It's her story. It's her life story. There's so much in there, from like winning dance competitions all around the world, becoming a Strictly judge, living in South Africa, Germany. I mean,
such a life. And you know what? We can't wait to have a little bit of insight into that life through food. Yes. That's the show.
Yes, that's the show. Sometimes that, you know, on our good days, the show is a tour through people's life via food.
Yeah.
On the bad days, it's stories about poo and wee.
It's nonsense as well.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. So we'll see where this one goes. We love Motsi Mabuse, but if Motsi says the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will have to throw Motsi Mabuse out the dream restaurant.
And you're all right, mate.
I just burped.
you better keep that in when Motsi's on.
Oh, listen, by the time Motsi comes in here, I'm keeping on top of it.
Okay. You're a fan. You're actively a fan.
I'm a massive
Motsi
fan. I'm not burping in front of Motsi Mabuse.
Yeah.
And you better tame that stomach as well.
I don't know. I better eat something.
Yeah, eat something, man. But this week, the secret ingredient is
microwaved vegetables.
Now, this has been suggested by a listener.
No. Me.
That's a good suggestion. Well done.
Thanks.
I was going to give full props to the listener for that, but turns out that was you.
Probably some sort of versions of it that work fine, but every microwave vegetable I've had in the past, so sad. You got to put a hole in the bag, put it in the microwave.
Soggy,
horrid.
No flavour. Soggy, sad. I'd rather have any other type of prepared vegetable.
How are you doing your veg at home, James?
Well, that's a good question. The other day, I fried up some asparagus.
Sure.
You know, if I'm going to do some broccoli, I'd roast it.
Yeah.
Very rarely do I boil veg now. It used to be my go-to when I first moved out of the Acaster hearth. But now I will roast or fry my vegetables.
I'll griddle. I'll regularly griddle.
Wow, that's
You came over recently.
And the difference.
I did. I did some charred broccoli.
Beautiful, beautifully charred broccoli.
Just in a dry griddle pan and put another heavy pan on top of it for like 5 minutes. Flip them 5 minutes again. Beautiful.
I went on Claudia Winkleman's Radio 2 show.
Yes.
And she said, she brought this up, I think, expecting a rise out of me. She said, Ed Gamble came on this podcast. He said he's a much better chef than you. What do you say about that? I was like, yes.
I think she backed me into that corner.
I said, yes, he is. And
But I don't think that's true.
And when I was there, well, for example, I said I was there last time. He griddled some broccoli, did polenta for the first time, and it was delicious. And he slow cooked some beef cheeks, and they were delicious. No, there's no way I'm doing any of that. Ever.
Yeah, look, you got to have me over, and I want some of the classics. Look, if you don't have me over for chorizo and fucking broccoli pasta at some point, yeah, I'm going to kick the hell off.
Do you know what? Yesterday, I did. So I hadn't made chorizo broccoli pasta in ages.
Yeah.
And I was really hungry in the evening, and so all we had was the ingredients for that, because my girlfriend still buys the ingredients for it.
That is mad that you're like, oh, we've got nothing in the house apart from all the ingredients for chorizo broccoli pasta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, when one of the only ingredients you've got in the house is a broccoli stump without the head, then what's going on? But I didn't have the pasta.
Ah.
All I had was some noodles. So I made chorizo broccoli pasta with noodles.
Chorizo broccoli noodles?
Yeah, and it did not work. It didn't not work.
It didn't not work, or it did not work?
It didn't not work.
It worked.
Well, it didn't work either. But it was a departure. I won't be doing it again.
Had noodles, broccoli.
Yeah.
Surely you had some other things to maybe make it like a East Asian style dish.
This is the thing. This is why you were right to say to Claudia, you're a better cook, man.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have thought of that. Well, I know how to make that.
Did you have garlic?
So.
Do you have ginger? Yeah. Do you have soy?
No ginger.
No.
Soy, yeah. Garlic,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chili, any chili?
Yeah, chili. Yeah,
you could have made like a really nice
pork, chicken, beef. loads of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, chorizo broccoli noodles it is.
Yeah, had to be.
We're very excited to have Motsi in the Dream Restaurant to chat about food and a little chat about her book as well. This is the off-menu menu of Motsi Mabuse. Welcome, Motsi, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, Motsi Mabuse, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the genie?
The explosion, that was a welcome. Usually when I get somewhere, there's always music, you know.
And yeah.
That jingle that follows me. Da, 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 da. So I was like, is something coming up now? That was perfect.
We should enter like that, like the judges do.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, when I have to do a little shimmy, then sit down. You
can you shimmy?
I can do a little shimmy. The listeners can't appreciate it. Or I do what Anton does, a very classy, just like blows a kiss, kind of stands there and just does a...
Classic.
Yeah.
Elegant.
Whereas you three have to come up with a different move each time.
I mean, when the music plays, you have to move. What else is there left to do, you know? And I can do that, you know. Anton is probably not allowing himself that freedom.
No, he's too rigid. He's too rigid, serious. Yeah, he can only blow a kiss, that guy.
Shame.
Do you have a go-to move that you would do in that situation when you hear your name?
I never plan anything. I just kind of, whatever happens, happens. Yeah. And mostly it's the same kind of, okay, hey, everyone. Actually, you know what? I scream, but thank God. I mean, everybody knows I scream, but... But thank God at that certain moment the mic is off, because it always feels like you know that come on, let's get ready time, and then I have to wake myself up. So if the mic was on, we'd all be in trouble.
I'd be terrified. Live TV, having to come up with a little shimmy to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do. I'd fall over my trousers and come down with it.
Well, it's the thing as well. I mean, yeah, live TV, and you're all having to, as the judges, give your thoughts on something you've just seen.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, and I don't know, this is probably quite a boring thing to say, but I can't believe how none of you ever really say, or anything
don't
like
we?
That. You just go straight. It's like you're reading straight off a script. You just do it, bam,
no.
And it's like these are so well thought out observations and opinions about the dances. They're not faltering at any point. You're not going all over the shop.
Not at all. You know, I speak English and I speak German mostly. Like I would say 80% German and then 20% English. But then I communicate with my daughter in English. So I'm always translating everything.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm always stressed out because my tongue has become so German.
Yeah.
So it feels like my tongue is a leather belt and I'm just softening it up and I'm thinking, do not make a mistake. And the worst part is that my South African brain still corrects me when I have done a mistake. And I'm just like, it's too late. You know, I can't change it. It's live TV. So I'm always fighting that. And in times of pressure, I have slipped. I have spoken German, but I'm just like, come on, it's a continent. You're all here. Everybody understands a bit of German somewhere.
A bit of German, yeah.
So it's happened quite a few times, and I hear like what's going on with my tongue. And I have that South African accent. So it's a mess. It's a complete mess.
As someone who only speaks English, that is such a weird idea to imagine that you're talking about your South African brain and German tongue and having an internal dialogue about the languages. And I'm just sat here. Sometimes I can't even think in English.
No. Or speak in English. You
absolute mess.
I can't do any of it.
Well,
he's lucky to be here.
The thing is, you all speak differently. Every time I'm in the country, I really have to concentrate. Some people, I just don't know. I'm just like, are we speaking the same language? I mean, there's a lot of accents here, like different types of. I struggle with mostly like on Strictly, I really struggle with people that come from the north. Like, I just. Like, I'm like, can you please translate at this point? Because it's so strong and I just don't understand, really. I'm being honest. It's like, it starts with hello and then it's over. Like,
But the language of dance is universal.
Yes.
Yeah. When AJ Adudu was on it, was that quite difficult for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But there have been quite a few people from the north. So I'm always asking Craig and stuff. And I'm just trying to, you know, understand and positive. But it's not easy.
You're so clearly talented at sort of picking up new languages. But you know, in a couple of years' time, you'll probably be speaking like you're from Leeds.
I don't know.
You'll have that.
I could learn the Leeds dialect.
Yeah.
Well, I always, with my team in my room, I always put on then my... What I hear is the English accent, and I'll be just like, hello, everybody. How's everybody doing? And they all laugh their ass off because they're just like, what is going on? I was like, this is how it sounds to me, how everybody's speaking. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're sitting next to Craig for a lot of it, who's a very, very posh English voice. Mm.
Darling. Cha. Yes, I know.
Your new book, Finding My Own Rhythm.
Yeah.
Which, is it too late to call it South African Brain German Tongue? We can change the title.
Oh, change it to that, yeah. Call it that.
You know, exciting.
What was it like writing it? Because, I mean, is this like a, fair to say, it's like a life story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I had to look back again. Obviously, some things I had forgotten, and while you're writing, you remember certain things. I feel like it's a diluted version of the truth, kind of just making it readable, because I think some of the stuff what really went on in South Africa and the dancing world, it's a little bit harsh and people, you don't want people to be scared, but it's a kind of a leading, giving a way for people to see how it was back then.
Yeah. Because was it in South Africa you did the dance competitions as well?
Yes, and
won them there.
Yes.
What's that like entering a dance? Because, like, I think Strictly looks stressful for the dancers. An actual dance competition must be even worse. I mean, that must be, like, crazy.
Well, you know, when you're young, I'm the one that wanted to dance. So when you're young, you kind of go with it. I feel like it started to go crazy when you start putting pressure on yourself. So the first one, you're like, yeah, I won. I'm the African champion. And then it's all fun. And then you
say that like that was your the first thing you did. You're like, well, I'm African champion.
Yeah, the African champion.
What? I've never even danced before. And here I am, African champion.
No, like the first comp I won four like categories and I had four trophies. I mean, wow. For my little brain at that time, I'm like, wow.
How old were you?
I was between 9 and 11.
Wow.
And after like 3 months or something. So, you know, like I was quite competitive in school with different things. I did running, swimming. I did, you know, when you have a like debate and I did all of that stuff. But you got one gold star or something. But four at the same place.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is home. So immediately I got stuck. I think it got worse later, but in the beginning it was just lots of fun and discovering you want to wear the pretty dresses, your hair gets made up and all of that as a girl. It was nice.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever see, like, when you're judging on Strictly, you ever see a dance and you think, I could have done that when I was 9?
Yeah, well, it depends who's doing it.
Yeah.
Some of the dancers, I think I could done that, you know, with a cloth in front of my eyes. No, it depends, really. Some stuff, yeah. I mean, they're beginners, right?
Yeah.
They're people that never dance, so it's okay. But I have to say this year that the standard is high.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have to start practicing again.
This year and last year, they're very good.
Strong.
My favourite thing about watching Strictly is when there's, say, a less talented celebrity on dance-wise, and the composure that the professional dancers maintain during the dance when they're, you know, say, just dragging someone around the floor, basically, or dancing around them.
Yeah.
Just the absolute composure, like the person they're with is also a professional dancer. I just think it's incredible.
Yeah. Tony and Katia this year, one of my favourite things to watch ever.
Yeah.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And, I mean, it's fun for us to watch as a professional in the week, because I did the show in Germany as well, and I had, let's say, a kind of Tony Adams.
Yeah.
And the people loved it. They thought it was entertaining. And the best part is that he was a great guy, so we could sit and talk. But my dancing brain, I had to just tell, forget it. Yeah, there's not like just make this about joy. But all dancers, I think most dancers are quite competitive. So the hard part is like telling your own kind of ego and your own kind of competitive side, chill. This is not gonna be that.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you learn later, this is entertainment. So Katya and Tony never won, but I mean they were vibing. They gave an energy that we were all never ever forget. So it's something that, you know, you impress for a while. Some couples were really good, but you've already forgotten them. We won't forget them.
No, for sure.
Hopefully.
No.
Well, we won't forget some of the moves, let's say that.
Are you a big food fan before we get into your dream menu?
I love food. I mean, I do look like I love food, don't I? I love food. I just think that if you have that opportunity, it's a pleasure of life. So I enjoy.
I mean, don't tell us any of your choices yet, but we're going to have some different world cuisines in there from maybe from where you live now, from where you grew up.
Yeah, I try a lot, but not too much. Like, I've been to Vietnam where I kind of also have to step out and be like, okay, go ahead, husband, you do that. I'll watch. I'll have chicken. Do we have chicken?
What dishes in particular?
Oh, man, I've seen it all. I have seen it all on a plate. And my husband's like, come on, try it out. And I'm just like, no. I mean, I'm brave, but not that brave. Like really, honestly, I've seen it all. We've been to markets in Vietnam where you kind of choose what you eat. And you can imagine. And people have fun.
Ed would love it.
I would love it. I love all of that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm
He's
very
straight in.
Very much
really?
Similar to your husband, it sounds like. Yeah, if there's something new to try. Especially if people would be impressed or disgusted that I did it. Absolutely.
You do it.
I'm a show off.
Oh, no. Yeah.
He loves that reaction.
Yeah.
Have you been to Vietnam?
Never been to Vietnam. I should go.
You do that. Yeah.
What are we talking? Like weird animals?
Like animals. We've sea animals also that I haven't ever seen. Like, don't know where the orientation. I think they're from the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sauces and spices that I appreciate. I appreciate, you know, kind of there's something different. Or I appreciate eating something here and then trying out in like China or in Japan and say, oh, it tastes completely different. Mm-hmm. Or Thailand, I love Thai food. So it's just that I kind of have to recognize what I'm eating.
Yeah. Something from the sea that you've encountered before, yeah.
But then not that literal name. One before.
No.
You don't want to recognise him going,
David.
David. Oh, no, it's David.
Not that far. Yeah.
That's when I wouldn't eat it if I was like, I've met that guy.
Yeah. Guys, are we still talking about food?
Well, let's start with your dream menu. We always start with still or sparkling water.
Sparkling. Still water is death, guys.
Oh, wow.
I'm so sorry.
That's fairly contrary to what a lot of people would say.
Yeah, a lot of people have come in, they really hate sparkling water.
No.
They
say, sparkling water is the strictly of waters, though, isn't it? Effervescent.
I guess,
exciting.
But then I would imagine that if you were dancing, you would want a still water to quench your thirst rather than a sparkling.
Well, in the good times when I have a choice, it's always sparkling. Well, if I'm working out or something like that, I have still water, but it's always sparkling. I drank still water all my life, all my life. And I just, I cannot. It feels like a step back. No, I can't. I have to enjoy it. Come on, let's be honest. Water is nice when you're thirsty, like we drink water because we have to.
Yeah.
The body needs it. Mm. If we had a choice, we would not drink water. I mean, the choices of taste.
I quite like, I don't mind it. Yeah, sometimes I'll sit down for a nice glass of water. I do. To be fair, I do have three drinks in front of me. Diet Coke and water.
That's the thing. You have a choice.
Yeah.
And this is the healthy choice. We drink it for health.
Yes. I mean, you do know that there is someone who works, one of the Strictly team, who doesn't ever drink water.
Really?
Mm. Yes.
Who? Giovanni?
No. Actually, this would be a fun guessing game.
Yeah.
Giovanni. No, I think Giovanni drinks water.
Is it a dancer?
No.
Then it's Anton.
No.
Craig?
No.
Shirley?
No.
Then who's left?
Claudia Winkleman?
She doesn't drink water.
She doesn't drink water. She
thinks it's disgusting.
You see?
She thinks it's disgusting.
You see?
And she says she can't kiss her husband after he's drunk some water because she imagines he has a big swollen tongue full of water.
No, but it's a necessity because the body needs it. But if we had a choice, we wouldn't drink water. We've got, fizzy drinks, we've got coffee, we've got wine, we can go on.
Well, would you have something else for your water course then? Because now you do have a choice.
Sparkling water with a bit of lemon and ice.
Yeah,
a bit of lemon and ice.
To start it off.
Crushed ice?
No,
cubes.
Just the cubes.
And would you agree with Ed that it's the Strictly of waters?
Yeah, it's great. It gives you life, it's something bubbling and you're like, oh yeah, it's not just plain old water. There is something happening.
Strictly's a fizzy show.
It's a fizzy show.
We sparkle all the way.
Exactly.
Everyone's sparkling.
Do you want, as well as bubbles in your water, do you want some actual sparkles in there as well? We can put some glitter in your water for you.
Oh, wow. That's never been offered. I will never say no to sparkles. How can I?
If we zoom in on all the little bubbles in your sparkling water, they all look like glitter balls, like the Strictly disco ball.
Yeah,
would you like that?
And one of them's got Tony Adams' face in it.
Tony Adams' face is reflected in the glitter ball with his top off.
This is the Strictly water.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can advertise that.
I will take everything for Strictly.
Yeah?
At this point.
Just realised I meant to shout poppadoms. So normally I shout poppadoms or bread.
This is the first time you've ever choked on it.
And I literally
forgot.
Had a burp come up as I was doing it.
Oh, wow.
Because we're talking that. I mean, I don't want to admit that to you, Motsy. But
I have, because
I just completely ruined the timing of it.
Yeah.
I basically suppressed the burp, then looked at Ed with very guilty eyes. That was like, I was supposed to shout then. And I.
Yeah.
But what I didn't want to do is shout.
Burp it out.
And burp at Motsi Mabuse and then be like, fuck.
Where am I?
That would be the rest of my life. I'd just be thinking about that.
Yeah. Every time you watch Strictly from now on.
Yeah.
I burped at that lady.
Did it? Still got her?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, you skipped. Still got you,
even though you knew it was going to happen.
Bread, guys, always bread.
Yeah.
Bread.
Any particular type of bread that you would like on your dream meal?
I mean, we have, how do you call it in UK? We have this Vollkornbrot in German. And it's quite, it's like a dark bread.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Healthy, nice, thick. And then you have some butter on it. That's amazing when it's freshly done.
Warm.
So warm.
Yeah. The Germans do bread very well. A specific sort of bread, like a sort of heavy.
Yeah.
Feels like you're having almost a full meal with every bite, like proper. Yeah. I love that stuff.
And like if you travel out of Germany, you like look for a bakery that's got German bread because they just, and there's like, when you go to the bakery, it's just, the whole thing is bread. And you're like, okay, what am I going to eat today? Yeah, they love bread.
You're like a wide selection in your bread.
A lot of selection.
I don't know why you live in Germany.
Well, I live there because I landed there. I fell in love, moved to the country, and then I was like, okay, it's just for a year. And now it's been 22 years.
Wow.
So I've adopted some German mentality and things.
What sort of things have you adopted?
Well, I hate being late. Like timing, and I just also think you have to work, like the Germans work, and follow rules. Uh-huh. I'm quite like that in every perspective, I would think. It's very low key. It's all about just, you know, what is the function, and it makes things comfortable. And you know, people will not step out of line. Like you can rely when they say we're doing the you know, we have on Wednesdays the garbage, and this goes to the plastic. And you kind of feel like every neighbor does it. And they're like, look at the one African Ukrainian family in the street. And we'd be like, okay. So things work because everybody just really, like, the bus comes on time and all of that. So that's kind of the German things you adopt.
Maybe I'm German.
Yeah.
Maybe. I like the sound of that. My dad lives in Germany for a bit.
Really?
And he loved it. He loved all of the different bins.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and explaining that to South Africans when they visit, I'm just like, oh my gosh. And they think I'm crazy. But they just have a system.
Yeah.
The Germans have a system. And then, and I landed there because it was quite safe.
Mm.
I felt safe. I was in the dance bubble. And then, like, you can leave your bag in the car. You can leave your car open.
Yeah.
Well, it depends probably where you live. But it's just that sense of safety you had. And coming from South Africa, where you're just, like, ducking every single corner, and then going to Germany and feeling like you could breathe. I think that's why I kind of felt, okay, I'm going to stay here for a bit to get used to not looking behind my back every time.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It is.
That must have taken some getting used to, though, even just like leaving your bag in the car. And
yeah.
But that blew your mind the first time you saw someone do it.
I mean, like even in summer, you go out of the car, forget to close the window.
I'm going to go to Germany and steal loads of bags.
You could.
You could.
Definitely you could.
Also, you could, even if the window is like open that much, I reckon your arms are so like...
I could get through
noodly,
like...
You could get through like Mr. Tickle.
Yeah. Like Mr. Tickle, yes.
Yeah, like Mr. Tickle,
yeah, like
yes.
A two-dimensional...
Yeah, like Flat Stanley.
Piece of paper, like Flat Stanley, and get through there. Is it hard to suppress those German need for rules and things being the way they are? Is it hard to suppress that on the panel at Strictly? Because you're quite, I'd say, of the four... You and Anton are more laid back and generous. You laugh at Craig for being very strict. Craig is very strict, and you're laughing your head off next to him.
Yeah, I laugh all the time because I know him privately, and I can't kind of switch back enough because you meet Craig, and he's like the sweetest. He's fun. He's so relaxed. He's just, we laugh a lot. Mm. So when he comes on the show and it's Craig, and then he does it, I'm always like, man, didn't we just have a conversation like 5 minutes ago? Who's this person? So I'm always laughing at that, and obviously it's the very opposite of what I am. So it feels like, I told him, you really do make my job really easy because you smash everything and I'm just like, let's build it up again. So it feels that way. But in my mentality, when I'm judging and entertaining and all of that, I'm very much myself, complete self. So it's not that hard to kind of switch that German side off. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to be in South Africa. That's always difficult because I have to really literally tell my brains, relax. When people say we're coming later, just know it's later. It's not 5 minutes late, not 10. They come at 3 o'clock when you said let's meet at 8. Uh-huh. So that's later. So there I have to really like kind of, because I get stressed. I'm like, yes, we're leaving. We're going to dinner. And I'm dressed and my people are still going to take the shower. I'm like, what? So it's that situation.
He would be furious. Ed would be furious.
I would hate that.
If people turned up at 3 when they're meant to get there at 8, I wouldn't even bother showing up. If I was that late, went into Ed's house,
I would just fake
my own death and tell him, try and make him think I was dead and never see him again. Because like,
it's true, though. It's
weirder though if I try and tell myself to relax about it, yeah, because if I go like, you just be chill, you be chill, yeah, and then chill Ed is so obviously not chill. Be like, oh hey man, yeah, don't worry about being late. That's cool in this house. Clearly not me.
The pressure gets here. And then somebody asks you something really like, can you pass the salt? And you're like, salt! You're just angry because of something completely.
Would you like me to pass you the salt now, or should I leave it an hour after you ask for it?
Exactly that.
Man, I cannot stop burping, man.
Are you drinking sparkly water?
No, I had a Diet Coke and a bowl of poke, so I can't tell you much. I'm sitting here being like, if you're sitting here doing fishy burps this whole podcast, man, you're never going to... I'm holding it all in my throat. It's horrible.
James.
I want it to be relaxed for this one.
If you saw one of the celebrities burp while they were dancing, like, and it was so obviously a burp, and you smelt it a little bit, would you reduce your score for them?
Well, it depends if it's out of timing or not. I mean, if it happens and you're in the music, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, but if you kind of stop and I'll be like, what's up? Then obviously, nope. Points there.
If they like did a bit of a flourish with it and it was clearly on time, then great. Yeah.
If it was right at the
styling.
End.
Styling.
Yeah.
At the end, their arms go out. They do the burp on the last note. As the dancer, then my only fear would be if we ended up in the dance off and I had to do it again.
Yeah.
That would be the only thing. I'd be like, I've got to recreate that because they all think it was part of the dance and it wasn't. And now I've got a burp going on cue.
Yeah.
Let's get into your dream menu because otherwise I'm going to keep on asking about Strictly and we said we'll do that throughout the episode.
Yeah. It's okay.
Your dream starter.
You know, the thing is when you love food, to pinpoint it to one thing is like awful, really.
Oh, we know. What we ask people to do is horrible.
Yes. Yes, it's not fun for people to be on the podcast.
No, we have a laugh there.
No. Listening's fine.
Yeah.
I love Italian starters. I love when you kind of have a choice of, and then you can mix it. I mean, you have everything when you have tomato and mozzarella, and then you've got that's what I usually do. But when you've got everything, mushrooms and salami and like the whole platter, and then you're like, okay, let's start.
So you would like a platter? You look like a
antipasti.
Yeah, antipasti, yeah. Exactly, but a yummy one.
Antipasti sounds very trust negative.
It will, this is the dream restaurant. It will be. You don't need to specify yummy.
I'm just saying because there's a lot of not good stuff there.
But a yummy one.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Not
horrible.
Not a horrible one. Please, has to be a yummy antipasti.
You know what? The word is stuck into my head because yesterday we were looking for some Christmas presents, but funny Christmas presents for the team. And I found a kind of very nice dessert out of candy, you know, like little tiny sweets. And I had my daughter and she kept on running around the whole shop going, "Mommy, your yummy panty here, your yummy panty." And everybody was staring at me. And, you know, and a couple of girls came, "Are you Musa Mabusa?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, not now. Right now I'm not." So that's why yummy is in my head.
Would you like the yummy...
panties?
The yummy panties on the anti panties.
What do you think of this, Mozzie? I had a friend who, when he was younger, like a little kid in primary school still, he went shopping with his dad, and it was his mum's birthday coming up, and his dad wanted to buy his mum some nice underwear,
sexy mm-hmm. present,
tantalising senti sexy underwear, sent it. But the dad was too embarrassed to go up and buy them, so he sent the kid up to buy some sexy lingerie for his own mum. What do you think about that?
Whatever works, guys. Like, no, for real. At this point, think of the goal. And, like, how sweet is it? Like, you probably the child's like, "Yeah, my dad's over there." So
the dad gets busted anyway.
It doesn't
anyway,
work
yeah.
anyway, but whatever
Doctor
works.
Doctor tends to be a mannequin. Yeah. Put some underwear on himself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, do it. Go all the way.
That's fine.
What else is on this antipasti platter then? So you got some salami, tomato mozzarella, mushrooms.
We've got, I don't know the names in English. You have to excuse me. The lemon with the prosciutto around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Melon, not lemon. Melon.
Yeah.
Almost.
I thought for a second there, I was like, lemon with ham? And you accepted that.
Well, I thought it was something I'd not heard of. You know, I don't assume I've heard of all the foods. Yeah, this might be some sort of German-Italian hybrid thing.
No.
Something you get in Vietnam melon, that you wouldn't
melon.
Edward.
Yes.
Melon and lemon are crazily close to each other.
I mean, pronunciation, you see.
Yeah.
I've got that accent.
They're just again. Anagrams of each other. That's crazy.
Has that ever got you in trouble before? When you wanted a lemon, you got a melon?
Yeah.
No.
Or vice versa?
No, yeah, maybe.
You asked me for some lemon in your water earlier. Yeah. Is that what you meant?
Melon.
What?
Watermelon.
What did you want? Watermelon.
Watermelon. Melon. You see, there we go. Melon. Yes. The honey melon.
Do you want more bread on there? Any sun-dried tomatoes? Anything like that?
Bread. Sun-dried tomatoes, yes. I love also, you know, from Greece, they fry like the zucchini. That's really, really nice.
And is this like a sharing platter? Would you share this with someone? Who would you like at the dream meal with you to share that with?
One person that eats well is my husband. Mm. So he's the kind of person that I know we can order more and we don't throw away food. Like, he'll be like... he is, because he's just like, you know, when I met him, he didn't care. He was like, food, just eat, you know. And now he's like, I used to ask him, how does it taste? And he would be like, "Oh, it doesn't matter, I'm hungry." Yeah. So now, like, he kind of tells the difference. So, but I always know that I always order so that I know he'll have the rest.
Yeah.
Smart. So he's like a bin, like he's a big dustbin.
A little
basically.
Bit, yeah, a little yeah. bit. He yeah. can eat.
That's my job as well, don't
he
worry.
Eat.
Yeah.
Clean the table.
I'm my wife's dustbin too. Yeah.
It works.
Ed loves being a dustbin. I do. Actually. He prides himself on it.
Yeah.
Makes you feel useful.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Feel good about yourself.
And more like a sort of garbage compactor. You know, like the thing in the middle of the sink that people have sometimes. Disposal unit.
Like in, do you remember, like the one in the Flintstones, I guess. In the Flintstones, the garbage compactor's real and can talk.
Yes.
It's a little dinosaur, a little pig dinosaur.
Yeah, I'm a pig dinosaur.
That can talk.
Sweet.
So it's kind of like a little pig dinosaur garbage compactor.
But it helps.
I'm helpful. I'm a helpful guy.
Very helpful.
I'll eat banana skins.
You do?
No.
I ate a banana skin once.
And? Dried.
Really dried out my mouth, dried, yeah. I saw it on the film K-Pax. There's a film called K-Pax with Kevin Spacey and Jeff Bridges. And Kevin Spacey is a man who's claiming to be an alien, and you're not sure for the whole film if he's an alien or a man who thinks he's an alien. And at one point he sits down with Jeff Bridges, who's a doctor, to talk to him, and there's a fruit bowl, and he just picks up a banana and just eats the banana with the skin on, because he's like an alien. So he eats it all like that. And I read that he'd done it in real, that he did it for real. It wasn't like a fake banana that tasted, it was a proper thing. So I was like, but I thought the way he does it looks delicious. I bet that's delicious.
And you tried it.
Late teens, so I did it. And it completely dried my mouth out, but I saw it right through to the end still. I ate the whole thing.
Wow. No.
But yeah, it was pretty bad.
We're not sure if James is an alien or not.
We're going to do some tests on you.
Would you think I was an alien? What planet would you think I was from?
Oh, wow. Help me.
Just for the listener, Motsy looked directly at Benito and said, help me. And I don't know whether that was about the specific situation or the whole podcast in general.
I'd like to say that was the first time it happened on the podcast. Help
What's
me.
The correct answer there? The closest to the planet.
The closest to...
Not this planet, but the closest one.
Yeah. Okay, so you and your husband are sharing some antipasti.
Yes.
For the meal. No one else? You don't want any of the Strictly judges with you?
Why you put me in that spot?
You can have one of them. You have one Strictly judge with you.
All or nothing. I'm not choosing.
You can't choose between them?
No. I don't want to get myself in trouble. Everybody's coming to the dinner.
Yeah. All three of them.
All three of them.
And would Craig be like, oh, this antipasti, it's not the best antipasti I've ever had. This is quite bad. And Anton's there going, it's a 10. Every mouthful he has, he loves it.
No.
Shirley gets the deciding vote.
We eat it together. We do share a platter every time, actually. We do. And we love it. We all love cheese and crackers, I think everybody calls
all
them
the judges.
Crackers. Yeah.
Yeah. Of cheese and crackers.
Grapes.
Yes.
We have grapes. And hummus.
Is that what's behind the desk?
When we kind of like, hey, how are you doing? How was your week? We sit together and
I've seen it when, you know, the scorecards go up and one of them's got a big lump of hummus on the top.
Yeah.
Flicks all over the audience.
But we're always clearing up because we got, like, you know, there's stuff on the table.
Right? Yeah.
But we share.
You ever grabbed the wrong panel by mistake and you've ended up giving someone more or less points than you intended to?
No.
Has anyone else done that on the judging panel?
No, that can't happen. Shirley did it this year. First year she did that.
Oh, yeah.
I think she said 6 and she had 7 and then they asked which one was it or something like that. Or something happened like that. But you can't because you have to, we have a scoreboard. So you have to give the scoreboard and then take the number.
Nice.
You concentrate.
You must love that. How efficient that is.
It's different. I mean, like, in Germany, we don't have a scoreboard, so you can wait until the very last second.
Wow.
So you speak to the couple, they go upstairs, they speak to the presenter, and even then you still don't have to decide. So you can, like, literally you have like 5 minutes to kind of reflect and then decide. And then it happened. One of the judges was like dry and he had a 4. So now it's like a meme.
Uh-huh. A meme
everywhere. In every channel, people are like, dry. Yeah,
that's his life forever now. Yeah.
That's his life. He walks down the street and kids are going, dry. He's
then
famous
cries,
for that.
Cries in his car.
That's the attention.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I want to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course. Mm-hmm. Is this a sharer as well, or is it just for you?
No, you know what happens? So my dream main course is that I always kind of, when we go to dinner, I'm like, okay, I'd love this and this. And I'm so lucky that my husband says, okay, you choose. So I choose both, and then we do half-half kind of thing. Yeah. So, he doesn't really, only when he orders, a spaghetti carbonara, then I'm like, I'm out, I don't want that. But,
hold on. Well, why do you hate spaghetti carbonara so much?
For me, it's bland. Yeah. It's one taste. It's just... Yeah,
I don't like it. This is when it's got cream in it, though. Because when it doesn't have cream, it's quite a lot nicer.
I have to try it without cream.
You look so upset. So upset thinking about spaghetti carbonara.
No, I've tried it and it's just, I don't get it. And when he orders, I'm happy for him because that means he's made a decision. But I'm just I'll try
also, he knows
else.
It's the one dish you don't like in the world. So you must be sitting there going, what have I done today? I must have said something earlier that he's like, you know what, fuck you, I'm getting a carbonara. Yeah.
But he loves fish. He'll take pizza with marinara pizza. And that I don't like so much. Mm. So there are some dishes that he will take that I'm not in it. But my favorite meals, I would say, the dream meal, a schnitzel.
Yes. This is our first schnitzel.
This might be our first schnitz.
The proper one, guys.
So what's the proper one,
please?
It's thin, 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 and then it's crunchy. Uh-huh. And then you've got a cucumber salad, gherkin, and then you've got the red berry sauce, and then you've got pommes, a French fries. That's good.
And what meat is it?
Normally it's pork, but you can have chicken.
Yeah. And stuff,
but it's normally pork. But a nice thin one where that crunchy part is actually raised from the meat itself. And and the minute you put the knife, it goes phew.
Yeah.
Oh,
such a good choice.
Thin one.
Very nice. Very nice.
Because it's not filling. If you have the not so good ones, it's just brunch. And it's not nice.
And do you want your husband to order another dish that you can have half of?
Well, if it's good, no. I'm like, but he'll probably order it with me. If it's good, we order the same.
But that must be annoying if it's a really good schnitzel, for example, and you've ordered something for him that you know you're going to have half of, because the agreement is he then gets half of the schnitzel. Yeah. Mm. So you get halfway through the schnitzel and you're like, oh, it's going to be an early goodbye to this schnitzel.
Well,
straight into the bin.
No, I do make sure that whatever he orders is yummy. It's it's not if it's nice, it's nice. But I really, really have a very, very friendly husband. He'll be like, let's order another one or something. So
love this guy.
Yeah.
He sounds great. I love this guy.
He is shame.
You're obsessed with
him. I am.
You're obsessed with this guy.
I know. Poor guy.
Why don't you just marry him?
No, I'll take schnitzel because I love a lot of stuff. I also love spaghetti marinara, but when it's well done, oh gosh, really good.
Yeah, I feel like you need to try a proper carbonara that doesn't have cream, because in the Stanley Tucci episode on his TV show, I can't remember where it is he goes to, because it's obviously all around Italy. It might be the Rome episode, and he has carbonara done the right way, and it's just it just looks so good. And him and the, and he's like, this is the best one I've ever had. And it's just so, but it shouldn't have cream in it.
Yeah.
And they're very, you know, the too people heavy. He's talking to who make it are like,
yeah,
they're annoyed that cream gets involved.
Yeah, I think it's a thing that people try to fit the taste of something to the countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like if in Germany, if they say chili, like it's chili for the Germans. If they say chili in Thailand, you can't eat that stuff.
Yeah.
Like you run. So I think it's a something to do with
just obviously just imagining someone going to Thailand and just running away just every time they see chili. It. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm German.
There are certain things which weirdly Ed and I find really funny, and people running is one of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know why the idea
it's
of someone running.
It's such an extreme thing to do to run away.
Yeah, someone running away is funny to us.
Yeah, running away.
That's how you know you've had an easy life. Yeah. the idea of someone running away is funny.
Have you ever ran away from anything?
Good question. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Yes, I have run away. The only time I remember properly running away and being scared was a night out in Kettering, where I'm from.
Oh, wow.
So this was when I was a teenager and had some friends who had a flat above a kebab shop right in the centre of town.
The story, where is it going to?
Yeah. So we were all there on a Friday night, me and about, there's probably about 15 or 20 of us. I'm all into kind of like punk music at the time. Mm-hmm. We're all listening to quite loud punk music and chatting to each other. And three massive guys who were probably in their 30s walked past, you know, shirts, iron shirts on from work and all this. They're hammered from the pub. And they could see some of us on the balcony and they were shouting up, turn that music down. We hate punk music. And and they just, it was just bad luck for the rest of us. They spoke to the mouthiest ones who were just like, we love it, whatever. What are you going to do about it, mate? And those guys were psychopaths.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know how it got from us being in a safe flat all together to all 15 of us running through the town in different places. Like,
why did you leave the flat?
Well, I'll tell you why.
You stay there, surely.
I'll tell you, I don't know how. They kicked the door in.
Oh, wow.
So it was full on.
Wow. Yeah, that's
not
again.
Not the only time that's happened to you when you've been in a flat, but finish this one.
What's that happened to me before?
Edinburgh Festival.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you that.
Tell me.
Guy kicks the door in. We claim we phoned the police when we haven't. They leave us alone. Then someone decides, one of the drunk punks goes, I'm going to go and confront those guys. He goes out on his own. We all have to go after him to get him back. And then we're out in the open at that point. And then we're all running. Yeah. We're all running away.
That's so funny that you get confronted for playing punk. You're a load of punks hanging out in the flat, and then within a second you're going, we have called the police.
Yeah.
We don't believe in authority up until we feel scared.
Please come and find us. God save the Queen.
It never works, right? Yeah. Always too late.
And then at the end of a festival, someone kicked our door in because a member of somebody who was living in the flats, not me, poured a pint of water out of the window onto his head. And then the guy tried to kick the door in, couldn't kick the door in, thank God. But I did have a can of spray paint on him and spray painted a word across the door.
But fair enough.
Guys.
It's the word you're thinking of.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Okay. I'm going to bring it back to food.
Yes.
I've been experimenting with spaghetti recently, Monty.
And?
I've come up with there's a couple of good recipes.
Is this another sweetie panty story?
No, not sweetie panty story.
Okay. Candy. Yummy panties.
Yummy panties.
Not sweetie panties.
You say you've been experimenting with spaghetti.
With eating it and stuff. Not me wearing it. Marmite.
Oh, Marmite in the spaghetti. Now.
Cook the spaghetti, drain it, save the pasta water. In the pan, butter, Marmite, pasta water, bit of cheese until you've got an emulsion. Put the spaghetti back in, mix it. Absolutely delicious.
Really?
Oh, God, so good.
Oh, my gosh.
Right, now, if you don't like the sound of that.
I should tell you, he is a good cook, so it probably is nice.
There's a Nigella recipe for peanut butter spaghetti.
Wow.
That is absolutely fantastic as well.
Wow.
Similar principle, yeah. You don't seem impressed.
You know what? This thing is with Marmite, I won't get it. I accept that it's there. Every time I bring somebody here visit, it's the trick. I'm like Nutella, Marmite, and something. And I'm like, I never say anything. Never, ever say anything. I'm like, try. It's a delicacy.
Well, I think pitching it as a delicacy, maybe.
Oh, Mom, I think probably you either love it or hate it, right?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Something like that.
That's why I can't imagine it but also it's salty. Maybe it's not that bad, actually.
Yeah.
It's salty.
It's pretty salty.
Oh, extremely salty. Yeah, so probably would work in the pasta.
Yeah, but if you're like sort of diluting it with other stuff and then there's, you know, and then it covers the pasta.
Could happen. Oh.
I've had chocolate that's got Marmite in it. Have you ever had that? Oh. Surprisingly nice.
It sounds like one of those challenges. Where you're like, do it or not do it. How much am I getting paid?
I've definitely mentioned it on the podcast before, but there's ones where it's just chocolate that has some Marmite in it.
Yeah, I've had that.
And they've made it as blocks so that you can get a faint taste of it, and it's quite subtle. In New Zealand for a while, they did a limited edition chocolate bar that I think was weird. I think it was Cadbury's doing it over there, where it's like, you know, a Cadbury's caramel chocolate bar, where it's like, it's literally just filled with caramel.
Yes.
It was that, but Marmite instead of caramel. So big
Paula Young did that for a bit.
Pockets of Marmite
inside.
And that was a bit trickier.
Huge respect to Paula Young, the chocolatier, who did a similar thing
here.
He makes amazing chocolate. You should absolutely seek him out. But he did do a Marmite bar like that, and I ordered four of them because I thought, I'm going to love this. I love Marmite, and it was too much for me.
Love Marmite.
I love Marmite, but it's just too much for me.
He also, Paula Young did a Marmite chocolate brownie that was delicious, and my flatmate at the time loved chocolate in Marmite. That's how I got into it, because he would get himself it as a little treat. He'd get a bar, and it lasted him a couple of months. He'd just have a little block a day. Oh. And I got him this brownie because he'd just broken up with someone. And I was like,
I love you, my friend.
He's going to love this.
Oh, wow.
And he did love it, to be fair. The chocolate brownie one was good.
Cheered him up.
It did cheer him up. He said, that's thoughtful. And I was like,
I just...
There you go. Sorry that you're unlovable. He's married now.
Friends.
He's married now,
yeah.
No, Marmite, I think it's a Commonwealth thing. I think, like, we had it in South Africa when we were young. Like, nobody has ever heard of it outside the people eating Marmite. It's like,
there's one rule in Marmite Club.
Yeah.
Don't talk about Marmite. Don't spread the word. Spread the Marmite.
Oh,
that's the catchphrase.
That's
so you love it as well?
Yeah. I like it a lot. I mean, in fact, like the our main logo for the podcast for a while was just the Marmite jar. Instead of saying Marmite, it said off menu. And then Marmite sent us this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the Marmite people sent us our own jar of Marmite that says off menu instead of Marmite. And that's when we knew we'd made it.
Yeah.
That's probably our day. Don't eat that
muffin. No. I'm not touching it.
Unless you just want to do it for one of those dares. How badly do you want to sell this book?
Eat that whole jar.
Eat a spoonful of that. We've gone for German for the main. Side dish going to stay in Germany?
Yeah, I'm going to stay in Germany. I'm going to say there's a lot of ways that you can make potatoes taste yummy. There's that yummy word again. But they've got this potato. How do you call it? Like when they've got the potato, then they mash it like that.
Uh-huh.
And then they fry it. And then it's like
smashed potatoes?
Or like a fondant potato, that sort of thing, maybe.
It's really, 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 really very good. Very tasty. Yeah. But it's...
It's not a fondant potato.
Hash.
Yes. Or what they do is they... You see, I don't have to speak about these things on Strictly. So these words, I don't have them in my mouth. So they grate the potato and then they put them like together. And then
Rusty. Rusty's a
again,
great choice.
But now we're going to have
which
to ask
one,
you
which
to
one
choose
are you
between.
Picking?
I'm taking the Rusty's, guys.
The
good ones.
Perfect for a schnitzel as well. You could lay a whole Rusty on top and...
Oh, yeah. Skinny Rusty and the schnitzel. You're combining those, aren't you? Yeah. No one's looking down on you for that.
That's such an insight to how you think.
Yeah.
Oh, better think about what I do just in case anyone looks down on me for it.
Yeah. I'm raised Christian.
Yeah.
I was Christian until my 20s. Absolutely everything I'm doing, I'm thinking I'm getting looked down on for it. I've got to be careful.
He's right.
Is there a particular place where you've had these potato rosties that was the best and that for your dream meal you'd want them from that place?
There's a really nice restaurant. It's in the hotel, actually. It's in a hotel close to where I live. Königstein, that's where I live.
That's where my dad lived.
What?
He lived in Königstein for 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
And he's working in Frankfurt and lived in Königstein for 3 years. Yeah, that's amazing.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's right.
It's beautiful, beautiful town.
Yeah.
It's so nice. Yeah.
We live there. What a coincidence. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So there's a Kempinski hotel there, and in the Kempinski there's a nice restaurant, and I mean,
yeah, that's
really the place to go.
For the rosties.
For rosties, for the schnitzel, for the salad, for everything.
Oh, wow. So you'd like the schnitzel from there as well?
Yeah.
For your dream menu?
Perfect.
Great.
Lovely.
I've had really nice schnitzel in München and in Vienna. Mm-hmm. In Vienna, they do some. But that hotel restaurant is very, 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 very accomplished. And it's fantastic.
Do you know what the restaurant's called?
Sorry.
Well, we can find it
out. We can Google it.
We can Google
it. It'll be on the website. We basically put all the recommendations from the podcast onto the website so people, if they're visiting,
if
can
you
go there.
Go there in Königstein. It's Kempinski Falkenstein. It's called Falkenstein.
Right.
And actually, they were filming The Crown there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so a bit of The Crown. So it's really, really good. And you overlook, like, there's a park, and then you can see all of Frankfurt from there up on the mountain.
Lovely.
Perfect.
If you were to pick a location for your dream meal, has there been somewhere that's just had the nicest view, that you've been sitting there, and regardless of what you've been having to eat, but, like, the view is, like,
amazing.
The best. Is there one that sticks out to you?
Well, you know, because of the dancing, I traveled a lot. I'm thankful for that. There was a little restaurant that I was in at night. It looked fantastic in Mallorca. Mm. I don't know how you say it in English. It's in Deja. And they have like these little houses inside the mountain. And at night, you just see like lamps. And you're sitting there in the restaurants. Everybody's got a kind of duck to go in. Absolutely.
Wow.
Beautiful and lovely, lovely food. That's a nice view that I will like never forget, kind of, because Mallorca reminds me a little bit of South Africa, you know, with the ocean and the mountains. Uh-huh. And so we went there and it then went dark and beautiful.
It's weird how setting changes food though, and food changes setting, because like that beautiful Mallorcan area you're talking about, if you had a schnitzel and rosti, that would feel weird, right?
Very.
Yeah. Because you need that German surrounding. Maybe it could be a little bit cold as well, and sort of maybe a fire and a lot of wood in the room.
Yeah.
And then that feels right. But you can't eat a schnitzel on the beach.
No. And like every time I go to South Africa as well and they've got like schnitzel somewhere, I'm just like, I cannot. Like, I won't.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's the disappointment will be too big. Like,
Like, if I've been to America, if there's like an Indian restaurant, I don't bother going because we've got so many good Indian restaurants around here.
Yeah.
And I just know it's not going to be as good there. Obviously, if I was in India, that would be different.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's the thing also, like we spoke before, like Indian food, because we're so used to the way it tastes here. When I went to India, I was just like, we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Like there's such a difference. But I also can't eat it anywhere else. Like, that's how it's got to be. So what would you eat in America? A burger?
Oh, no. There's so much good food in America.
Spare ribs.
Just, one of the very, I would eat spare ribs. I did eat some spare ribs last time I was in America. And they were so good. It was in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. Me and my tour manager, after the gig, we'd got a place pinned for tacos. We're going to go there for tacos. Yeah. Everyone says this is the best tacos. We're going to go there. We finish at like 9:30. That gives us enough time. We know that the place closes at 10:30. We get a cab over. We get there for 10. There's a short line outside the door. And the last person in the line is like wearing a sign on their back that there's been put on them that says closed.
Oh.
That apparently this is what the place does, is that when they decide they're done, they go to the last person in the line and they drape a sign over them. On their back, there's a laminated piece of card. A laminated piece of card that says closed.
Yeah.
And this customer is now in charge of telling everyone
that they're closed.
No, it's closed now. And getting shit from everyone. Everyone who turns up is like, the bench closed at 10:30. It's like, dude, honestly, I'm just a customer. I don't work here. They put this sign on me. And now I'm having to deal with complaints. Well, they shouldn't be closing yet. I know they shouldn't be. How come you're allowed in and I'm not?
It'd be amazing if he wasn't, though.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing if he wasn't allowed in.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to the door and they were like, look at what you're wearing. Yeah. See you later.
You're the sign.
Oh, come on, guys.
That's cool.
But instead, we walked back to the hotel from the taco place mm-hmm. and said, anywhere that's open, we go there. Mm-hmm. Sam's Barbecue was open. We went in there and we was like, whatever you've got left. And he's like, the ribs are good. We're like, great, we'll have ribs. They were, if I'm, you know, we're on Dream Side Dish at the minute. If I was to make a dream menu of that tour that I had in America, they would be my dream side, was these ribs.
Side?
They were, I'd have them as the side.
Okay.
Because they were delicious, but I know what my dream main would be from that. I did do a whole thing with my tour manager where he was like, let's do an off menu, but for the tour. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and those were my dream side with those ribs.
Do you love that when he went, let's do an off menu? Like, oh, right.
I did love it, actually.
Yeah.
I wish you could say that I didn't, but I was like, that's a brilliant idea. Also, man, that place did daiquiris as well.
Takeaway
daiquiris.
Yes.
In a foam cup. Huge. Yeah. Humongous. Absolutely insane that I drank this.
Yeah.
Like, they said, do you like boozy or sweet? I said, I'd take boozy over sweet. They went, yep. And they weren't messing around.
No.
It was like a whole drum full. It was fluorescent red. And I couldn't stop drinking it. By the time I got to the hotel, I was like, man, you're really going to make sure I wake up tomorrow because I'm going to miss the flight.
How did you even sleep?
Yeah, I was like, I've got so much sugar in me and I'm hammered. Yeah. I'm going to go and kick someone's door over playing punk music. That's how drunk I am.
Everything being in America. Everything. Yeah. Like a glass of wine. I'm just like, is this the glass or is this half of the bottle?
Yeah. And with like anything like any spirits as well, they don't use any measure. They just like free pour everything. Yeah. So you go and have like a cocktail or something, and then you realize it's just straight booze all the way up to the top. Great,
but it's quite expensive, right? Like it's quite. We went out with friends in New York, and I didn't know, you know. So we were like eight people there. And everybody's ordering and ordering. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to spend my money on clothes and shoes and bags. So I'm just going to eat a salad and just have a little cocktail. So, and they were eating and we're having fun, whatever. And at the end of the like meal, they're like, okay, we're going to split the bill. like in Germany, they never split the bill. Yeah. Like 55 cents. Okay, you pay 20 and you pay. So I was like, oh, okay. The next day we went out. You can imagine what I did.
Yeah.
You could have earned that back.
I thought you were going to say you went clothes shopping with them all and made them split the bill.
No, yeah, that would have been send them the bill for the clothes.
No.
Also, I love how earlier you mentioned watching Sex and the City and now you've gone, and then I went to New York and I was going to go clothes shopping. This is like exactly that lifestyle.
Yes, sorry.
You got to live your dream.
Yeah.
I did. That's education, that Sex in the City. Everyone should watch it.
Yeah.
Everyone. male.
Well, I've benefited a lot from watching
you
Sex
see?
In the City when
you
it comes
see?
To food. Because every time I go to New York...
The only guy took that from that. Yeah. Huh? Me and Motsy didn't think you were going to say that.
No. We're like,
I learned a lot from Sex in the City.
Yes.
The food.
Food.
Magnolia Bakery.
No.
I go to Magnolia Bakery and get the banana pudding all the time because that's what they eat in Sex in the City. I don't know what you two were thinking about.
Yeah. Life.
Your dream drink then? We were just talking about drinks a little bit.
I have this wine I love.
Yeah.
Like, it's called, I don't know if you guys know it, it's called Chocolate Block. From South Africa.
South African wine, yeah. It's fantastic. It's really good.
I love that.
I think I have heard of it.
Yeah, you try it. Try it. It's just fantastic. I don't know what's
It's a very recognisable label as well. Yeah. It's like a white label just with chocolate block written on it in black.
Yes.
And it's pretty widely available, right? You can find it.
Finally.
Sometimes with wine, like, you have an amazing glass of wine and you're like, well, what's the bottle? Take a picture of it.
Yes.
And then you go online, there's nothing about it.
Mm.
But Chocolate Block, you can actually buy it. Yeah.
Finally, it's you get it here. Like, and I take, like, I used to kind of fly over from South Africa with Chocolate Block. No clothes, but Chocolate Block in the suitcase. But now you find it. So it's really great.
Does it live up to its name? Very chocolatey?
I wouldn't say chocolatey, but it's got that, you know, chocolate has got a kind of, it's rich.
Mm.
It's rich in, it feels like you're drinking velvet.
Wow. It's a good description
velvet
of it.
Velvet was a drink.
It's a big wine. Yeah. It's a big wine.
So if I put red wine in my velvetizer?
No.
Would it taste like a chocolate block?
No. Don't put red wine in your velvetizer.
Why didn't I bring the bottle? I should have. I have one in my room.
I think it would be like a...
Like,
next
what?
To the bed.
Hi, baby. No, it's Christmas time. I'm handing them out.
Yeah. Well, that could be too early Christmas. That could be a mulled wine. I could do that in the velvetizer. Mm. Put the chocolate block in, because that's still, because it's a hot chocolate velvetizer. If I'm putting chocolate block in there, I can plead innocence if I have to take it to the mechanic or and get it fixed.
To the mechanic?
Yeah, yeah. So
to the chocolate mechanic?
Yes. So if I put the chocolate block in there, and try and make a little mulled wine, maybe put some cloves in there, a little orange,
wow.
A little cinnamon, and put it in the velvetizer and see what I come up with there. And if it breaks, I can go to the mechanic and go, sorry, it said chocolate block on it, I thought it was hot chocolate.
Yeah, that's sorry, all the cloves have gummed up the mechanism.
Yeah, I don't know, it's so confusing. Merry Christmas, though. Do you like mulled wine? Mulled wine, the warm wine at Christmas.
Yeah, it's called Glühwein.
Sorry.
Glühwein.
You're looking at me like my accent had got in the way there.
No. I love it. I was thinking I haven't had an opportunity to drink it yet, and I'm leaving soon, and when I'm back, they don't have it anymore. Ah. That was just in my thought. I love Glühwein.
So when you said about Northern accents earlier, I was like, I'm not Northern, but...
No, you caught me.
I still have a bad accent.
You have something. You have a sort of accent.
Yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it?
What is it?
You can tell me it's disgusting if you want to, Motsy.
I'll never say anything like that.
I don't mind if you think my voice is disgusting.
No, not at all.
I know you think it's disgusting, Motsy. You don't need to say it.
No.
Just tell me if it's disgusting, Motsy.
I understand you.
Yes.
That's the main point.
And I understand it's disgusting.
Yes.
But where are you from?
Kettering in Northamptonshire.
Ah.
In the middle of the country. I don't know. I'm trying to think now if any Strictly guests have come from near there.
No, you're the only person to have come from Kettering that's in the public
eye. Yeah, but maybe if there's someone from near there. But I don't think there is, really.
Glühwein is mulled wine, right? But the Germans do it in
over
a pretty
Christmas.
Special way. Yeah.
Over Christmas. It's mainly over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a European thing.
Yeah, I think
we don't
so.
Have it in South Africa.
Because they have it in Scandinavia as well and call it different things. So my wife's just filmed a show in Finland, and in Finland they call it glurgi.
Glurgi. But close to
Glühwein. And then in Denmark it's glug.
Okay,
but they put like nuts, they can put like slithered almonds in it and
raisins.
And raisins. Yeah. And then pour extra booze in it as well, like cognac.
Yes, good. I'm with you there.
Raisins in the wine. That's weird, because that's like old wine. Raisins, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not old wine.
No.
It could have been wine. It's wine that didn't reach its potential.
It's like, yes, it's weird, I guess. Because it's... Wine is like really old grapes.
But then
raisins are also like old grapes.
Yeah.
So they're just like different directions.
Sliding doors.
Yeah. They look at each other and go, this is what I could have been.
Mm.
And raisins, so they still find themselves bobbing about in the wine. Must
look
be very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you feel, Motsy, if you were a raisin bobbing about in some wine?
Well, I'd feel at home, no?
Thank you for answering that absolutely idiotic question,
Motsy. You
know?
What can I say?
We arrive at your dream dessert.
Oh, this has been such a difficult day. Let's stick with chocolate. Stick with, again, my wording. I will have that, how do you call that chocolate that's not really completely like baked, and then you go in and it's nice and
soft. Chocolate lava cake.
Or chocolate fondant. Yeah, it's a great choice.
With ice cream or maybe some vanilla. I'm thinking, because in my head is like something else is coming up, but I'll stick to that choice.
What was the other thing coming up in your head?
It's like creamy. They eat it a lot in Spain.
Creme catalan. That.
Yes.
I haven't had
this
creme catalan.
Good. With some caramel on top.
Yeah. It's a bit like a creme brulee, right?
Yes.
But in Spain, is it a bit orangey?
Oranges.
Oh, it's
and
so
then you
good.
Have caramelized like the sugar on top, and then you break it.
That's so good.
Then you're in paradise.
Well, do you want it that you order the chocolate fondant and your husband orders the creme catalan and you have half each?
Yes. And he'll probably order something on top. Because he does
I love this guy.
Do you know what? He does. I see why you're so obsessed with him now. If he's ordering two puddings,
he does, I'll marry for real. Don't you dare. No, like, yeah.
We found the line of what will be taken as a joke. Do not marry my husband.
Boundaries.
That sounds great. If, yes. you, if you're splitting the puds like that, big respect.
Yeah, you can do that. You'd have one thing to yourself and then something for the table to split. Yeah.
Right? I would do that, but I would also, in the past, when I have gone, oh, let's both get different ones and we'll have half because I can't decide.
Yeah.
Whatever one I like the best out of the two, I'll order a full one of that again afterwards. Yeah. So I will do half and half and then I'll think, I really liked that one. I wish I'd had a full one. Nice. Order the full one. Last time I did that was in Lisbon, and this is something you might like.
Oh, nice.
I had a red wine and chocolate ice cream.
That sounds great, doesn't it?
And, I think that'd be right up your street, actually, Motsi.
Yeah.
It was very delicious with this amazing, quite thick homemade wafer biscuit. And it was so good, I just ordered another one straight away. It was
nice.
I was absolutely obsessed with the first one. I felt that way about the ice cream that you feel about your husband.
You know what? It's funny when you speak about it. I don't know what. One thing I left out that I really, really, really love. It's not like, I don't know where to place it, but there's truffle. Like, if there's anything truffle anywhere, I'm like, I'll have that. Like,
well, we could put a truffle on the side with like a little grater, and if you feel like it, just you can grate it onto the food.
On the potatoes.
Onto the rusty truffle rusty.
Yes.
Motsi just did a dance move, everyone. Yeah. We've got to see it in real life.
10. It's
all
a 10
for the food.
Me.
It's a 10. Yes.
Man. Love, love, love.
What if they asked for a joke, for a bit of a fun, they asked you to enter Strictly one year?
I've done it.
Yeah, but what if they were like, you're not a professional dancer, you're one of the celebs.
Listen, I would do it. Like, I keep on saying that every single day. I'll tell you why. Because every time I go out the stairs, I see all these girls and I see all these celebrities and they get fit, right? They get fit. And for me to be like, okay, come on, we're going to go to the fitness studio or whatever, home training. I'm just like, but if you have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm always like, find a show like that for me. To my manager, find me that, but differently.
I do the same thing. I call my manager every day and say, get me cast in a Marvel film.
Yeah.
All I want is that. And I don't have to be in it. I just want to do the gym bit.
Yeah. You know? I don't care if I don't make the edit.
Fire me. Fire me just beforehand.
I worked for it.
Matt, no, I won't say that.
Okay.
Can't say it. That's a story that was told to me in confidence. I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Okay.
You would like sparkling water with lemon and ice and some glitter in it.
Yes. You'll
tell me the story afterwards, right?
Yes. I've already told it to you.
Oh.
Poblums or bread. You would like bread. You would like a selection of German breads from the bakery. But there was one in particular you said that is your
favourite. Falcon bread.
Yes. Delicious. Yes. Starter. Antipasti to share with your husband. You want a yummy one.
Yes.
With tomatoes, mozzarella, mushroom, salami, honey melon with the prosciutto around it.
Yeah.
More bread, sun-dried tomatoes, fried zucchini.
Yes.
Main course, schnitzel.
Yes.
Nice and thin.
Yes.
Side dish, potato rosti with a little bit of a truffle on the side that you can grate on if you feel like it. And that is from the hotel...
Falkenstein Kempinski.
And then you want some chocolate block wine. And for dessert, a chocolate fondant with ice cream for yourself, creme catalana, for your husband, half each, and then he'll order a surprise one on top of that.
Yes.
Woo! That's
a great menu.
Yeah. I know we stressed you out, but that's a delicious menu.
That's so good.
You got to be happy with that.
Yeah, that's food, man.
What a perfect way to end the podcast. We are changing the name of the podcast to That's Food Man.
Well, we've definitely been the strapline.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Motsi.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Motsi.
Thank you.
That was the off-menu menu of Motsi Mabuse. Thank you so much to Motsi for coming in. That was great.
Thank you, Motsi. Sorry for the burps.
Sorry for the burps, Motsi. My stomach behaved itself, though.
Yeah, your stomach is very good. I was burping away. Going to be thinking about that for a long time.
That is mad that she lives where my dad used to live.
That's crazy. I didn't think enough of a big deal was made of it at the time.
No, I think she thought I was lying.
Yeah.
She thought I was doing a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Which shows her what she thinks the quality of my jokes are.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, that must be what passes for humour here in the UK.
Yeah. My dad lived there.
Okay, cool. What's next?
All right, yeah.
A delicious menu.
Great menu.
A great menu. And you know what? I'd love to eat that menu while reading Finding My Own Rhythm by Motsi Mabuse.
Lovely.
And thank you, Motsi, for not saying the secret ingredient, not saying microwave veg.
Not saying microwave veg. No, thank you.
Motsi likes to do things properly.
Not a lot of veg made it onto the menu, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, actually. Well, there's a bit of salad there. There's a little side salad for
little
the
cucumber
the
salad, yeah, with the schnitz. But mainly, meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes for your mates.
You know what? Every time I come out of an off menu and think, I really want this now.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty much the whole menu, so it must have been good.
It must have been good.
Schnitz, the rosti.
Mm.
And then she didn't pick mulled wine or glühwein, but I do really want a mulled wine now. I've not had one yet. We are recording this in a festive season,
yeah,
and I very much would like a mulled wine at some point.
We talked enough about it for it to be a thing now that you're going to want. I mean, every festive season, everyone finds it. The first time someone mentions a thing to you that you haven't eaten that festive season yet, I've got to have it. I've got to have a mince pie. When someone puts that in your head, you haven't had one yet, and then you have one, and then you go, not for another year, thank you.
Benito, can you make us some mulled wine, please?
Yes, and some mince pies with your fair hands.
Thank you very much to Motsi for coming on the show.
Thank you, Motsi. You're the greatest of judges.
We will see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But, yeah, again, no pressure. But, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.